You are listening to episode 7 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wodke, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Well, hello there. How are you doing? Oh, did you hear the Velcro just rip as I moved? Today, I got my cast off, and so I'm wearing a wrist brace, which clearly has ends hanging off of it that hooks. So I'm just going to take this off, what I like to call my wrist corset. Oh, and I'm free, and it kind of hurts. It kind of feels good. Oh, so the more important question is, what am I indulging in tonight for my beverage? I have what I solely bought this based on the bottle. It's Driftwood Brewery, which I want to say is a BC brewery. Not positive. That's, don't know for sure. And this is Cry Me a River G-O-S-E. I don't know. Cry Me a River Goss. It should be Cry Me a River, motherfucker. But under the picture, it's like this demonic woman with yellow eyes, no pupils. You can't see her mouth. It's just like a cover over her face. So I was totally drawn to the bottle. I haven't opened it, and I realized now that I intended to open it on the podcast that I'm still fucked up and I can't open shit with my right hand. So I'm going to have to booby bicep sandwich this bottle and open it with my left hand, which is probably a nightmare. Not probably. It's definitely a nightmare. This is kind of a nightmare. Okay, I can do it. I can do it. I did it. That's open. Here's the pour. Actually, I don't even know what kind of beer it is. I don't know if it's a lager or an ale or whatever. Oh, look, this lists all the ingredients. Who knew? Yeast and hops. Oh, and coriander. And whatever. Not going to keep reading the ingredients. I'm just going to drink it. Oh, I like that. Oh. That's a very slightly tangy, but yet still smooth kind of lager. Digging it. All right, though, we're going to get right into the podcast. Today is Reader Roundup. I know you're not all readers, but that just sounds nice. I like the two R's, Reader Roundup. And I do get a lot of messages from Facebook and Instagram and emails from my YouTube and all the other things. So you can definitely reach me that way, jen@jenwodke.com. You can, of course, comment on the podcast post and we'll see those as well. So if you have a reader question or comment, please do send it to me. I do love to hear from you. So I pulled recently some of the more interesting questions that I've received, and some of them are sort of repeats. So let's just get right into it. First question. Oh, shit. I probably should have prepped this question, but I didn't. What separates the boys from the men when we're talking to women, when we're trying to get some? You know, I'm so torn with questions like this because part of me is a female who is often hit on and often doesn't have my boundaries respected. Part of me is like, fuck. But a larger part of me who still wants those interactions with men that I've never met, like that's really interesting and exciting most of the time. And I know that we're in a very interesting climate in terms of gender and sexuality and how to we relate to each other. And I get that men are, you know, scared right now and worried about offending, and they don't really know what the rules are and how to play. So I get the question. Separates the boys from the men when we're talking to women. You know, the first thing that comes to mind really is confidence. And I guess the age-old saying, fake it until you make it. But I mean, I think a lot of people, men and women included, often don't approach because they're worried about being rejected and maybe have some insecurities, or, you know, they are so into the person that they want to hit on that they think, oh my God, that person is so hot. How could they ever be interested in me? So I think a lot of those things are at play, and sometimes people just generally don't approach. So obviously if you don't approach, you don't have confidence, I think, for whatever reason. And if you do approach, I think if you decide that you're going to go in, I think you got to go in full on fucking hard. Like, you can't let them see you sweat. You can't let them see a weakness. And I think goes for men and women. So you got to go in confident. You can't seem to be, you know, tentative or unsure. You got to go in essentially and assess her interests. And I think that's where the confidence comes from. I've been approached in so many ways, sometimes that are offensive and sometimes that are tentative. And sometimes, actually just tonight, I was chatting with a guy, and a male friend who I was meeting all along came later. And so the guy that I was just casually talking to at the bar just left. And I was like, oh, fuck. Well, you know what? He could have closed. Like, I totally would have been into it. And maybe he wasn't into me. Like, that totally could have been a thing. But he could have closed. Like, I started the conversation. I, you know, would talk to him and, you know, go back to my computer and then talk to my friend a little bit once he arrived and then go back to the guy. It's like, I'm sustaining interest in you. Like, if I am talking to you, and I realize that sometimes, you know, pauses or looking away or seeming to be interested in other things could look like a negative sign. But if I do those things and keep coming back to you, I'm interested. If you approach me and I give you short, brief, one word answers, I'm not fucking interested. But what separates the boys from the men? Confidence. So what does confidence look like? I think it looks like you're coming in, you're saying hello. And I think confidence is, okay, this woman, not interested, not a thing. I'm going to go away because there are other options. I have other things to do. And then I think there's, you know, she reacts that she's interested in talking to you, continuing the conversation. I still do think it comes down to confidence and being self-assured and being an interesting person. And I think, what does an interesting person mean? You don't necessarily have to have, you know, traveled the world and done all these, you know, crazy, interesting things, but you do have to have interests outside of your job. If you can only talk about your job, that's kind of boring. If you don't have any friends, kind of boring. If you don't have any stories that you've accumulated in your life, that's really boring. So you need to, I think, approach somebody that you've never met before and kind of be bringing your best, most interesting game. Not a fake game. If you tell me the only interesting thing you've ever done in your life, I'm going to find you out pretty quickly. If you're lying or making yourself seem better than you are, quite quickly, that's also going to fall apart. But if you've lived an interesting life, you're an intelligent person, you're interested in the world of people, like, that very clearly comes across. And I think that separates the men from the boys. Boys haven't been out in the world. They haven't tried new things. They haven't done new things. They haven't taken risks. Men have. Men have been hurt. Men can be vulnerable. So real men, I think, can approach women and, you know, if he and she manage to hit it off and they, you know, embark on a relationship, a man who has experienced vulnerability, I think, is a better sex partner because he can really understand that and he can really create a space, person, women or man, whatever, to come in and be open and be sexual and to just go with the flow. I also think real men, to a certain extent, take control, not controlling, but take control. We're going to go on a date? Okay. If he comes to me and he's made plans, I'm so fucking in. Unless he's specifically made plans or does something that I've said is not my thing or I dislike, I'm usually fine with it unless it's something crazy. Like, we're going to go dig a, you know, fucking ditch in the woods. That might be sketchy. But, you know, be confident. have life experiences, be willing to talk to people, be able to accept women when they come into your private world sexually, to have a certain vulnerability, to have had emotional experiences. I think that's what separates the men from the boys. You know, and the other tag on to his sentence was, when we're trying to get some, sometimes I think you need to forget about trying to get some, because you can often seem like you're trying too hard. And that's where the confidence thing comes in that I was talking about before. If you come in that you're just looking to get laid, I think that can often be smelled from a while away. And certainly people are for one night stands. And if you are, that's what you're looking for, and you gauge your audience correctly, and you know, meet somebody, strike up a conversation who is also into no strings, then you're golden. But if you're looking for something a little bit more, you might not want to come with that game, because if you smell a little too desperate, you're probably gonna put people off. Moving on to question two. So this was an interesting question that's sort of been rattling around in my head for quite a while. So this reader is, I think, a het male who's married to a woman. For ages, he's been trying to give his wife a squirting orgasm, which she didn't think was something that she could do. And he also was a bit skeptical and had done some research, and there wasn't any concrete evidence that he could find that said it existed or didn't, although his wife landed on the extremely skeptical side. And so they went, you know, on with their lives, and there was an experience that made his wife aware that, oh, maybe female ejaculation is a thing that women really can do. So he's giving her some time to sort of, you know, live with that and sort of what she thinks about it. But he wants to help her reach another stage of pleasure, aka squirting. So his question is this a capacity that only a small share of women can achieve, or it's something in her mind? What do I think? So I think there's a ton of things here to talk about. So I don't think we live in a society that supports or acknowledges or encourages female pleasure. So a lot of women, once they decide to become sexual, do come to the table with a lot of ingrained shame about their pleasure and their bodies, and they maybe don't know how to articulate what they need or want, and we're really not taught anything about pleasure. A lot of our sexual education is around not getting pregnant and not getting STIs, and we don't really talk about the pleasure potential that each of us have. So there's a lot for the average woman to sort out before she can hit some of those heights. Some of it is academic. You know, she needs to get on the internet, get into the library, and what is possible? What does female orgasm look like? What are the potentials? And a lot of people just don't do that. Like we sort of default to, we've got all the tools, we're born with all the tools to be sexual and to achieve sexual pleasure, which we have the basic tools, but we all have the basic tools to ice skate. And until you put on a pair of skates and spend a lot of time on the rink, there's a difference between your first steps on the ice, where you're going to be falling down, you're going to, you know, land on your ass. You can skate, you can traverse the ice, but until you've been on the ice, this analogy is so fucking Canadian, but until you've been on the ice, until you've learned how to skate and do a few rounds, right, you're not a good skater. You're not remotely competent. And I think that that is really true of our sexuality, except that we don't have a teacher to teach us how to skate. We have to go out into the world and just talk to people. And sometimes those conversations can be difficult and embarrassing. So not only do we not have a guide, we don't even know what we don't know. So I think, especially for women, it's also true of men, but I think there is a lot of learning that needs to be done before we can even start moving toward those paths of pleasure. So that takes me back to this letter writer. I question his motives a little bit. I think sometimes female sexual performance is tied up a lot to male ego. I'm not saying all men, of course. I'm not saying the specific reader, but I'm saying to all the men who might be listening, I think it's worthwhile and worth your time to take a step if there's an element of female pleasure that you want your partner to experience. Do you want her to experience it solely for herself, or do you want her to experience it as a result of you providing it? And I think a little bit of a gauge is, if she only did this in private and never with you, would you be okay with it? Because that would be her pleasure. And if it's truly your desire to only see her have pleasure, you should be okay with her experiencing that solo. If you're not okay with that, I suggest maybe taking a step back and taking some of the pressure off of, you know, the expectation that sexually or perform sexual pleasure, I guess. But only the men listening who want their women to experience this can really gauge but what their true intentions are. I know that there's numerous women out there listening now who fucking know what I'm talking about, where the partner's like, are you coming? And he just wants her to come, and he's just so engaged in it. And it's seemingly about her pleasure, but him wanting to see that and to witness it and her to experience it actually puts on a pressure that can be really counterproductive. So pause and think about that. Are you wanting her pleasure for herself, something for her to experience it? Or are you wanting something more performative that you would enjoy as well? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying our partner's pleasure at all, but if it's something that she has never experienced, and if it's something kind of outside of the, you know, orgasm and sexual pleasure that we're taught is quote unquote normal, then it might be more of a thing for her, or learning journey for her. So I encourage you to maybe just take a step back and think about that for a moment. So specifically this letter writer, the other question is, has she expressed desire in learning how to squirt? This writer mentioned that once she realized this is something that really could happen, she accepted it. So I don't know that the wife of this writer has specifically expressed a desire to learn how to squirt. And if she hasn't expressed that, then my best advice for this writer is back off. Back off. You're asking her, in that case, to perform sexual pleasure for you, and that doesn't serve anybody. So back off. Stop. If, however, she has expressed some interest and desire to learn how to do this, then I do have some concrete advice. So the first one is, you need to give her some space. A lot of women learn pleasure in the presence of their partners, which, you know, can be a lovely experience. But if women haven't learned it on their own in the absence of an audience, that can be difficult, because all of a sudden it does, as I mentioned earlier, become sort of performative. So yeah, if she's expressed an interest, I would give her all of the tools possible without putting any pressure. So there are some tangible tools that I would recommend. The first is a waterproof blanket. I recommend Liberator Throw. I do not get a kickback. This is not an endorsement, a commercial, something that I purchased with my own money and something that I love. The great thing about it is it's plush on one side, satiny on the other. It's got a waterproof middle. You can throw in the washing machine and the dryer. So to have something that can be brought out, put down, completely wet, and toss in the washing machine is amazing. The other part about giving her space, or sorry, the other tool is whatever her preference is for a toy. If you have a ton of money, get her a Sibian. It's unlike any experience out there with a toy. It's not even a toy. It's a machine. It's so intense. It's so hardcore. I've had stories from women who have never squirted before, their first time finally experiencing that internal sensation where they thought they were going to squirt. So it really is a machine that can facilitate new pathways to female pleasure and orgasm. But it is crazy expensive. So if you don't have that or can't afford it, find a toy for her. Actually, backtracking, don't find a toy for her. Give her a gift card. Take her to the sex shop. Tell her to go in and buy whatever she wants so that she can completely feel free to buy whatever turns her on without any judgment, any fear of reprisal. So you've got her blanket, you get her a toy. Next thing you do is you provide a space. If you're married, you take the kids fucking out of the house for a few hours. Light her some candles, light her a bath, brush her hair, clean the house, whatever she needs to get out of her headset. And a lot of women have a lot of things rattling around in their head. They have so many tasks. They work, they take care of kids, they have a husband, all of these things. They clean the house. So you really need to get her in a headspace where she's going to be able to not think. She's going to be able to solely focus on her body. And that is easier said than done. You probably also need to have wine. So you need to figure out what those things are for her. And actually, I think this goes back to being a good partner. You should know what your wife needs to be totally turned off mentally so that she can turn on physically, so she can stop that mental chatter and that judgment and that self-talk that not only women, a lot of women, but not only women, do that sometimes takes them out of sexual pleasure. The other thing you need to realize is that the physicality of being able to squirt truly is an obstacle. And my first story, I had known female ejaculation was a thing. This letter writer happened to have mentioned, you know, the back and forth about what's out there and is it real or not. And I think that's neither here nor there. If this is something that a woman does when she comes, that's what she does. And that's the end of story. Is it ejaculate? Is it pee? Whatever. That's all bullshit. I don't believe for a second it's pee. Male ejaculate has elements of pee in it. Like, our systems are so, male and female systems are so similar. We're made from a lot of the same parts. A lot of the same tissue in utero grow into essentially homologs in the man and the woman, male being the penis, female being the clitoris, which is like huge and deep and fucking so sensitive inside. And it makes sense that men can ejaculate and that women have some of those same glands and what have you inside. Like, if you're going to shame a woman for how she responds sexually, you don't get to fuck her anymore, in my opinion. So when I was originally starting to say that, physicality really is a thing. So with women, that I shouldn't say women in general, my experience is not unique. I'm neither a special snowflake. So that pee feeling for most women is very similar to what she might feel when she's about to ejaculate. So women have had it ingrained in their heads since they were 2 years old and learning to potty train that when you feel that, you cut it off, you stop that, right? Because in women, the urethra and the vagina are very close. It's all the pelvic floor. Those are the same muscles that stop the flow of urine and can control the vaginal muscles. So when she feels that orgasm coming on, it is an instinctual reaction to stop that by clenching her muscles. So my personal experience was, you know, I had been talking with a boyfriend about, you know, ejaculation, and I thought that it was something that I could probably do. And it was something that I brought up because it was something that I felt that I was cutting off. And that boyfriend at the time was really great. And he's like, oh, you know, I don't care what you do and you come. And I was like, 100%, I know that. But it's so strong, even though it was something that I really wanted to do to allow that release. It was so strong to not let that feeling happen. So for me, the first time that I did ejaculate, I was so relaxed. I wasn't expecting it. I was just, you know, home one day, I had a toy. And for me personally, it was not an internal toy, which in a lot of the literature, women are told that they need to insert something and stimulate their G-spot from the inside. And that is a great stimulation for a lot of women. That has not been my personal experience. I have squirted from really deep, intense, strong external clitoral stimulation. So that first time, I wasn't even thinking about it. It was not on my mind. It was just this, oh, I'm relaxed. Oh, I feel a clench. No, relax and relax. And I was like, oh, shit. My entire bed is wet. And this is what I'm talking about. Some of the shame. This was something I had consciously been aware of, consciously working toward something that I wanted to happen. And when it did happen, even though I was alone, there was nobody to look at me and judge me and shame me or anything, I still went, oh my God, what is that? Holy fuck. What the fuck? What the fuck? Did I just pee? And then my logical brain kicked in. I'm like, no, I didn't just pee. I just came. But I got down, put my nose to the sheets, and I was like, that does not smell like pee. It smelled like chicken soup, I thought. It didn't look like pee. And for me, once I had that release, like once I got over that hump, I was able to control it. I was able to, if I felt that I was going to ejaculate and I, you know, didn't have my waterproof blanket down, I could stop it. Or if I did and I wanted it to happen or felt I needed the release, I knew then how to relax those muscles and let it go. So, advice for how to get your partner squirt. You need to make her feel safe and comfortable. You need to provide her a space where you are not there so that she can freely experiment without your judgment. She needs to be comfortable. She needs to be not stressed. She needs to not feel that you're watching her. You can't give her the space and the tools that I mentioned earlier and then be like, okay, oh, honey, how did that go? How did that go? Did you come? Did you squirt? Did you... That's counterproductive. You basically need to provide everything you can so that she has a safe private space to masturbate and to experience some of that release in the way that works for her. And you need to never question her about it. So probably not the answer that this letter writer wanted. But again, I come back to, do you want her to have pleasure for herself that she wants, or do you want her to perform it for you? And if you really truly want her to have pleasure and you communicate that to her and she feels safe to explore and she experiences those things, she will share that with you. Next reader question. What is my top toy recommendation? Oh, shit. Depends on what you mean by toy. If we're just talking a toy, $100 range, I still, if you've seen my YouTube videos, you've seen me talk about Lovenz and Lush. I still love my Lush. I think it's one of the best toys out there. A lot of toys out there are, a lot of insertable toys out there are ones which I can't get over thinking that they're made by a man who only sees a woman's body something that he can put something into. So the handle is where he would hold a handle if he was inserting something into a woman's body. And it's so unnatural for a woman to hold a toy that way. And that's always been my gripe about wands, is that you know, it hangs, once you've inserted it, it sort of hangs outside you, depending on the design of the toy, for 2, 3, 4 inches. And so if you're lying on your back, which you may or may not be, everybody masturbates differently. But if you're lying on your back with a toy inserted that's hanging outside of you, you now have to actually kind of stretch to reach the edge of the toy. And it's kind of awkward. And controlling that toy, if you want to move it around, becomes very difficult and awkward. So that's always been my gripe against wands. So much to my shock when I got Lush, which actually was my very first insertable, which I only bought like a year and a half ago. So I was quite late to the insertable game. And God bless Love Ends that my first insertable happened to be not of a wand designed. So Love Ends, or Lush by Love Ends, is the bulbous part that you insert sort of looks, it's bulbous. Like it kind of looks like a sperm head, and then it's got a bit of a bump, which once it's inserted, in theory sort of like vibrates against the front wall of the vagina where the G-spot, if you want to call it that, or where the legs of the clitoris all sort of meet, all in that sort of one spot on the front wall of the vagina where all the nerve endings are concentrated. So it stimulates that once it's inserted, and then the part that comes outside is a very flexible, very thin wand. And I'm using the word wand again, which is probably a bit of a misnomer. When I say wine, my brain's on wine. When I say a wand vibrator, typically it's like a 1-inch diameter. It may have a clitoral stimulator, but it's basically a stick, right? Some of them are curved, whatever, but it's basically like a thick stick, maybe with a clitoral stimulator. That's a wand vibrator. So when I am talking about Lush and I say the wand, that's a bit of a misnomer because the wand is super, super, super thin. And it's designed to curve up. So once you have that Lush inserted, that wand doesn't hang out of you 3 to 4 inches toward your knees. It naturally curves up and it rests on your belly, which makes it so much easier if you're lying on your back to hold that wand, your hands on your belly, and then the control is much easier, much less awkward. And also because the wand is so thin, if you happen to lay on your stomach, it's really easy to grind yourself into whatever surface against that wand. You could put on a pair of tight panties and that wand lies in place. It also houses the Bluetooth, Bluetooth. So it's super flexible. So it really is designed for everybody's body. That wand just naturally lies against you. Whereas with some of the more traditional stick wand vibrators, they're very inflexible. And if it has a clitoral stimulator on it, you're really stuck with wherever the manufacturer placed that. You can't do a lot with it. But with Lush, it's like a bulb with like a big long U-shaped tail. And that U-shaped tail is what I'm referring to when I talk about the wand on the Lush that curves up against your belly. So by virtue of the design, that tail, that wand, lies wherever your body dictates. So it's friendly to everybody of different shapes and sizes. It hits you in the right place. And it's still one of my go-tos. That fishtail or that wand is so super thin, but it's such a strong vibration. It blew me away. It wasn't what I expected from that toy. So my first insertable experience with Lush was fucking crazy. I was literally like lying in bed, gasping, couldn't speak because it had been so super intense. And it's about $100. Can you go wrong? I don't think you can. I will put a link to Lush in the show notes if you're interested. But what do you do if you've never bought a toy before? Well, the great thing about living in the internet age is that you can browse on so many sex stores. And the first suggest is going onto some of these sites and taking a look and just seeing, like, does something spark? Do you look at anything and go, fuck yeah? Or do you look at something and go, fuck no? For me, realistic dildos are kind of a fuck no. They don't really interest me that much. So go on, just take a look, just browse. Does anything grab your fancy? And if you're a starter and you don't have a ton of money, I would go for a bullet vibe. They're discreet. They usually pack a great punch. They generally don't cost a lot of money. You can get, I mean, depending where you live and what your options are, you can get a decent one for like 10 bucks. And they can go up to 100 bucks, but 100 bucks is definitely top end. You don't need to buy a $100 bullet vibrator. There's a lot of really great bullet vibes for 20 bucks. Another good bullet vibe is, well, here's a few good bullet vibes. Iroha Stick by Tango, which maybe not a lot of listeners can get to. It's a Japanese company. It looks like a lipstick. It's 10 bucks. Best bang for your buck. The next is the WeVibe Tango, which doesn't look quite as lipsticky in terms of, like, it doesn't have a case. It doesn't have like a base and a, like, a lipstick portion, but kind of that same shape, about 60 bucks. Super powerful, super strong, super discreet. And if you want to go higher end, again, Lovense has a really great bullet vibrator called Ambi, which I think runs about 100 bucks. And it's sort of a little bit of a non-traditional bullet in that it's kind of a bullet that you lay against the clitoris, but it's got a little bit of a handle that you can hold on to, which kind of makes it really ergonomic and great for that. But you also don't have to go bullet. There's a lot of, you know, super entry level stick or wand vibrators that can do the trick. Only caveats I would say for your first purchase is make sure that there are no phthalates in it. Those are not good for you. You don't want to insert that. I would shy away from anything with a jelly finish. They often have petroleum in them, and you need to really check the ingredients to make sure that they are body safe for insertion. But other than that, I'd say don't spend a ton on your first vibrator. Get something silicone, something body safe, something that grabs your fancy, but don't go super high end until you really have experimented a little bit and know what you like. Because sometimes what looks great in the store, I mean, go for that. But sometimes once you get it home and try it out, your imagination might go somewhere else. It might not quite work for you, and you don't want to feel tied to a vibrator because you spent a little bit too much money on it. The other thing for your first toy is stores. I know that a lot of people can feel really shy going into a store and asking for advice, but if you don't feel comfortable, you might not be in the best store. Most of the higher end stores, for lack of a better word, have really highly trained staff who are non-judgmental and who can answer your questions and can point you in the right direction. And you don't need to give them a ton of, I want a big dildo, or I want blah, 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 blah. You just need to say, like, I'm just looking for a beginner vibrator. And they can probably point you in the right direction, at least to some bestsellers, point you to something that, you know, is mid-range, you know, something that is made out of body safe materials, which these days most of them are. It's good to, you know, double check the ingredient list and make sure there's nothing sketchy in it, but most of them are probably fairly safe at this point. So if you can go into a store nearby that has, you can talk to, that is golden. But if you can't, I get it. Sometimes people just want shit delivered to their door. Amazon's great. They carry a lot of sex toys. Adam and Eve is a great site. Honey is a great site. None of these are affiliates. I get no kickback. Pink B.O.B. is a great site. Lilo does a lot of great toys. They have a great site. And I think Lilo actually also has a little erotica on their story, if you're in a blog, if you're into a little bit more education. Jimmy Jane, There's a lot of great sites out there to start. So I will put a lot of that in the show notes. So if you're interested in taking more of a peek to get started, that'll be there for you. And yeah, if you have your own questions or comments as a result of this podcast or something I've ever written or shot the shit about elsewhere, please send to jen@jenwodke.com. That is jenn@jennwodtke.com. Love hearing from you. And yeah, maybe I will answer your question on a podcast. So I didn't drink a lot of this beer. So I'm going to like curl up in bed with this beer. Is that bad? That's what I'm going to do. Don't care if it's bad. That's what I'm going to do. And maybe watch like a shitty episode of a shitty TV show, which will be great. Yeah. Thanks for joining me, and I will catch you next time on the Drunk Sex Podcast.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wodke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wodke Facebook group or check out jenwodke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.